Well, one person we didn't introduce before was Titus. You want to introduce yourself, Titus?
I've got only one name. Titus. Now, when I come to America, I say I'm Titus Sithole. Now, my surname is Sithole, but when I'm here, I say Sithole, so that I don't sound to be, primitive. I'm Titus Sithole. I'm good to be here.
It's great having you here, Titus. And Titus has brought some pictures with him. Those of you who are been around for a while know that part of what we did with the Crazy Campaign was built an AIDS hospice, or are building an AIDS hospice and mortuary center over in South Africa. And you got some updates for us. Show us here.
Yeah, that's a building. Thank you. That is that's the front of the hospice, and the other picture is the back. So we have put the tiles, the roof tiles, and you can see the air conditioning there. And this is the first building of this kind in the whole township. This will be the first building that will have an elevator in the whole township.
And the largest of its type in the entire country.
In the entire country, 140 bed. And we could have built it cheaper, but I felt we needed to do something that will bring glory to God, so that people can see that even in the township, we can put something of significance. Now, the money to build kept growing up because I wanted to do something of class.
Yes, first it was like one story. Then you told us, no, I think we need two stories.
That's right.
So we originally had a commitment of $250,000, and at this point it's like $500,000 we put into this, and we've had fun writing every check to go over. It's just been a blast. Now, you mentioned township, because this is a big deal. Just so you all know, townships over there are not like townships here. Townships over there are where those who are in poverty reside, and the haves and the have-nots in South Africa are still very clearly along racial lines. And the townships were supposed to be just temporary housing facilities for the cheap black workers to come in and do their thing. And then over time, it ended up being permanent residence. And it's where those who don't have are. And so for those who are in the townships to do this, this is something that's made news across the entire nation, hasn't it?
Yeah, it does. In fact, on the 24th, we are having an official opening of September of the hospice. We're trying to get the president and some of the government ministers. And what is unique about this is that it is done by the people for the people. The idea, the vision, we call it homebrewed. It came from the people. Now, when you go to South Africa and other African countries, they are doing a great work, but most of it is from outside. And so this one is internally done by the people for the people. And so when we dedicate it, it's going to hit the whole country. People are going to know about what God is doing through charity. And we are so grateful to partner with you.
To the point where you're expecting the president of South Africa to be here for the dedication.
Yes, we're expecting the president and the minister of health and education.
Phenomenal. I don't think, in Cincinnati, this would be like the homeless having the vision and executing a state-of-the-art hospital. We would go, hold on, homeless building a hospital? What is that about? Well, that's what's like over there. People are saying, hold on, wait a minute. Church in the township having this vision, finding the resources, it's a source of national pride. And you're saying, hey, it's all because God is a love machine.
Well, we're so grateful by what God is doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're gonna continue to talk in just a bit, he and I, because we're doing our series. We're in the midst of our series called Elements, which is we're taking a look at the first five books of the Bible, also known as the Pentateuch, also known as Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, also known by the Jews as the Law. And we're seeing how there's virtually nothing in the entire rest of the Scriptures, Old Testament or New Testament, that isn't on the foundation of something that is said within those five books. And you have something you want to talk to us about that comes directly right out of that. But before we get into that, we're going to take up an offering. And we're going to have our ushers come forward. We don't have any fancy, cool video today. So they're going to come forward. And if you're newer today or this is just kind of not part of what you're about, that's cool. Don't feel any obligation. Just sort of pass that on by. Those of us who call this place our home and are really engaged in the revolution that God's doing in our world, this is an important time. It's how AIDS hospices are built. It's how people are flown over from South Africa. It's how an infrastructure built into all of our spiritual formation happens. This is a critical part of what we do here at Crossroads. But you were telling me yesterday about some of the things that you saw in the life of Moses. Moses, who was the in a sense, the bondage breaker or the leader that led the Israelites out of slavery into freedom. And you were talking about the three phases that you saw them go through. And I was listening to those things. Man, I can identify totally. Tell us about that.
The three phases that the Israelites went through and you and I, like it or not, are going through. The first one is called the Egypt phase. We know that Israelites landed up in Egypt and they were slaves for over 400 years. And God met with them and dealt with them at the point of their need in their slavery. It was only until they started to cry out for help that God spoke to Moses and sent him to Egypt to go and deliver His people. It was only when they started to cry out that God delivered them. And the Bible tells us that Moses went to Pharaoh and plagues came to the Egyptians. Finally, they left Egypt. God met them where they needed help the most. Even you and I, because of sin, we have landed in the land of Egypt, in the land of bondage.
I think this is part of, we're going to see how there's pieces in the New Testament that tie to this. Because in the Old Testament, there's these physical representations of spiritual realities that we all face. One passage in the scripture says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All of us have this sense of selfishness, this desire to go after our own stuff, to be about ourselves. And in that sense, we're in bondage, and we don't come to experience the life that God really has for us.
And that's where God wants to meet us at, in the land of captivity, where we are enslaved by whatever.
I was going to say, if someone's in slavery or they're in bondage, what would some of the marks be?
Yes, some of the marks of slavery in our day, number one is enslaved by sin, where people hate without a cause. They don't want to hate, but they do it. Where people commit certain things that they don't want to commit. They want to quit. They want to stop whatever thing that they are enslaved, but they cannot do it. So that's the mark that they are in the land of bondage. And many people today, they are bound by substance. They are bound by many, many, many other things. And a lot of those people, they are sincere. They want to quit. They want to live a better life, but they are bound. They do things that they don't want to do. And I don't condemn them. I know they want a better life. But if it was in their power, they would have quit a long time. In fact, I know somebody who was bound by nicotine, by smoking. He hated it so much that he read books, he did everything, and somebody told him that your remedy will be, if you can get the breast milk and sprinkle on your cigarette and smoke the cigarette, you'll stop smoking. Now, the guy was desperate, and he did it. But the funny thing was, in Africa, breastfeeding mothers, you know, they breastfeed while they are walking. You know, they just turn the baby in front and then they're breastfeeding. And so he would wait in the street and look for breastfeeding mother and ask for a drop of milk. Now,
that could lead to another addiction, actually. one for the other. You're getting hot over there, are you? Yes, you are.
The point I'm trying to bring across is that people are sincere. They want to change. They want to stop. They do everything they can. They go through rehabilitation. They go through advice and counsel. There's only one thing that can break any bondage. It's the Moses of our day. It's Jesus Christ. God has sent Jesus to be the bondage breaker. Now, he broke my bonds about 24 years ago. And when I received Jesus Christ, the things that I could not live without doing, even if I knew they are ruining my life, I couldn't stop. But the day I made Jesus my Lord and my Savior, he set me free. So that's the land of bondage. But the most important thing is this. There are three type of people that God cannot help and deliver them from their land of bondage. As powerful as God is, he cannot help them. The first type are those when they are in bondage, when they are enslaved, they don't want to acknowledge that I'm a slave. They don't want to acknowledge that I need help. And those people, God cannot help. As I said earlier, the Israelites, when they began to cry out, God heard their cry. The second type of people are those, when they've got a problem, when they are in the land of bondage, they hide their bondage. And many people are good at that. And I said earlier on, some of us have a church face. We put a different face when you come to church. And everybody knows us as saints and angels. And yet we know the struggles and the things that we're going through. We don't want to confide, and God cannot help us. And the third type that God cannot help are those who cannot cry out for help. Brothers and sisters, our deliverance from bondage, from anything that has enslaved us, is cry away. When we cry out for God, he will help us. Two things that amaze me about Bartimaeus and Peter. Bartimaeus, Jesus saw him blind, begging, and he had the power to help him, but he passed it. And when he had the crowd and commotion, he began to ask, what's happening? They said, Jesus just passed. Maybe he's been praying, crying that he'll come his way, but Jesus passed it. It was until when he cried out for help, said, oh, Jesus, son of David, have mercy. When he cried out, Jesus said, who's calling for me? You know, Jesus loves to be called. Our Moses loves to hear us calling him for help. No one of us, because of the weakness of the flesh, can overcome this flesh. Any bondage, doesn't matter how good how strong will I have. It will only take our Moses. And Peter was sinking in front of Jesus. When he was walking on water, when he began to sink, he was close. And the Bible says it was only when Peter cried out for help that Jesus grabbed him. He was busy sinking while he's watching, because he was not crying out. So, if you are here, you are in the land of bondage. That's where God can meet you. Jesus said, all those who are heavy laden, come. He wants us the way we are. And our problem is, a lot of people, we want to change, want to clean up ourselves before we come to him. He says, the way you are, call me. I will reach you right where you are and deliver you from bondage.
You said it a couple times, you said it so well. You said Jesus is our Moses.
Yes, sir.
And this is what we see in the life of Christ. He fulfills and embodies everything within the first five books of the scriptures, everything within the Old Testament. Yeah. And so in the book of Romans, which is the New Testament portion of the Bible, chapter 6, it doesn't use the word Moses, but it basically gives verbiage to exactly what you're talking about. Let's take a look at this. Romans chapter 6 says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. So, we're always slave to something, and we're always free from something. And so when we're enslaved to our own selfishness, we're actually free. We don't have righteousness. We don't have spiritual purity. But now that you have been set free from sin through Jesus and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. All of us are bound to something.
Yeah.
We're either bound to bondage and sin, or we're bound to God. And when you're bound to God, you get things from being in relationship with Him that you wouldn't have otherwise. For the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus.
So that's the first phase, where we are set free from bondage of sin. The second phase is the wilderness phase. Remember when they got out of Egypt, they went in through the Red Sea into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, it was the land of just enough. Just enough. They were given manna, enough for one day. But the sad thing about the wilderness.
And for those who might not be familiar with the story, this is where Charlton Heston led people through the Red Sea. Okay, so Charlton or Moses leads them through the Red Sea, and then there's a period of time in the wilderness. So keep going.
Right.
There.
So when they got to the wilderness, they reached a point where they wanted food. And then Moses cried out to God, and God gave them manna, fresh bread from heaven, enough for one day. Land of just enough. Egypt was the land of not enough. Not enough food, not enough everything. But when they got out, it was just enough for one day. But the sad thing about it is this. Is that wilderness to them was a land of stagnation. Stagnation means moving in circles. For 40 years, they were moving in circles. To the promised land, it was 3-5 days journey. It took them a long time. Now, even to many of us, we are in the land of stagnation, where our lives are moving in circles. Things have tendency of staying the same, of being the same. And the marks of stagnation is we having the same problem that we had 20 years, and still we cannot get the solution. We at the same position at our workplace, in our marriage, in our lives, where we have the capability, the ability, the wisdom, and all that it takes to move forward, but we are stuck. And many, many people, they are in the land of stagnation. They are moving in circles. Just moving in circles. They are moving, but they are not going anywhere. Day in, and year out. And now, that's where God wants to meet some of us. In that land of stagnation. So, if you are here, there's a third phase. Stagnate, the land of wilderness phase is better than the Egypt phase. It's just that here, we're moving in circles.
How to get out of this phase?
Right. One other way to get out of stagnation. The land of just enough is to share where you are, to share with other people the very little that you have. Our tendency is we get into survival mode. Everything I have, I want to keep it to myself. I'm selfish. I want everything to get to me and myself and I. So to get out of it is even where we are, begin to share, begin to give what we have, the prayer, the joy, the peace, the little that we have, where we are better off than where we were in the wilderness. I mean, in Egypt, we need to share it. That's how I'm getting out of it. But the most important phase that which God wants to take all of us is Canaan phase. Canaan phase. Now, Canaan is the land of more than enough.
Canaan was the promised land.
Was the promised land. And God said to Moses, I'm taking the people. They will inherit the cities they have not built, fields they have not plowed, and houses they have not built. It's a land that is flowing with milk and honey. Plenty. Now, that's where God wants to take us. The land of more than enough. But there's a danger. When we get to the land of more than enough, when we are prosperous, when we have everything that we need, we tend to forget the one that brought us to the land of more than enough. And that's where God kept reminding the people through Moses, saying, tell the people, when they get to the promised land, when they eat and they are satisfied, and it is well with them, They must see to it that they don't forget the Lord, our God, the Lord their God. And sometimes when we get to the land of more than enough, we are so well to do that we don't need God. We depend on what we have. We trust the riches and all, everything that is going well, more than relying in God.
I think it's one of the things that, you know, I've really learned from you all. We've learned from you, and we're going to do a little exercise in several, and you know, in a bit that's around this thing is, you know, living where you are, seeing what you've seen, the 16 people, what they saw when they were there. Which, by the way, some of us are going, how come 16 people got to go over and I didn't? What is that about? How come I didn't? That was a scouting mission, because in April we got slots for 300 of us. We want to take 300 people over, make a big splash in partnership with you, be a blessing to those who are there, trying to think through ways how we can put into place food mechanisms to feed on an ongoing basis maybe 100,000 people. There's a number of different things we want to do. So April, just in your own mind, if that's something that's close to your heart, just think about that, April. But I know I haven't talked with these 16 folks yet. There's some up there dancing. But I haven't talked with them yet, but I'm positive one of the things that struck them is what struck me there, and that is, since virtually all of us in here are in the land of Canaan, we don't really have to rely on God. Yeah. We can rely on our insurance.
Yep.
We can rely on our next pay raise. We can rely upon our good looks. We can rely upon, you know, any number of things. Whereas you and your community, when there's a problem, where there's bondage, you don't have some of those things to lean back into. It is purely to Jesus.
Yeah, and that's the strength of Africa, is that God is our strength. God is our everything. When we seek, we cry out. We don't have medical insurance. I don't have with my family. And when my children are ill, we cry out. Many a times when we don't have resources, we cry out. We depend on God more than any other thing. Now, the danger of being in the land of more than enough is that we begin to make everything our source. God is the source of your supply. Not your boss, not the government, but God himself. And thank God for those that he's using to provide to us. But then, the responsibility, when we get into the land of more than enough, God wants us to do three things. God takes us to the land of more than enough, from bondage through the wilderness, to the land of more than enough for three reasons. Number one, so that we can enjoy all the blessings that he has given us. And number two, he gives us more than enough so that we can save, we can spare for the future. And thirdly, he gives us more than enough so that we can share with other people. And that's exactly what happened with Joseph and Pharaoh in Egypt. During the years of plenty, Moses was told, given the vision, Pharaoh by God, to enjoy. They ate what the crops. And secondly, they had to save for the next 7 years that were going to be starvation. And thirdly, they sold, and that's how the Israelites got into Egypt. They sold to other nations. So when God begins to bless you and I, he wants us to enjoy the blessings. And you don't have to feel guilty that you are in America and you have all these others and, you know, blessings and others don't have. Enjoy them. Secondly, spare, but most importantly, is to be a blessing. That God has sent the blessings your way so that other people can be blessed through your blessing.
And this might not just be financial. It could be affirmation.
Yes, sir.
You know, I've got the ability to touch on you and brag on you. It could be words of wisdom or hard knocks that I've learned or you've learned and sharing those. I mean, you haven't written a single check today, but what you've done is you've poured your wisdom into all of us today, which you could have kept that for yourself.
Yeah, it could be prayer. It could be the love that God has shed abroad in your heart, extended to other people, acceptance, accepting those that are being rejected. You give what you have. But let me conclude by saying this, that a lot of people, I know a few people who were once in Canaan. God took them out of Egypt. They were bound. They got set free. They were moving in circles, and God worked with them until they got to their promised land. But the irony is, a lot of people, they've gone back to square one. Where God found them, their lives are even worse than before. Because when they were in the promised land, they compromised. They started now to put certain things first before God. And the word of God was no longer number one to them. And all those addictions, all those problems that they had before, they went back to that. But even in that, I believe that even today, as you, God has allowed you to come today, it's so that He can take you back to your promised land.
I found just today, or a couple days ago, I was in Chicago in a meeting with some other pastors, and I thought I had this thing licked, where I would compare myself with other people and kind of see, you know, what's this deal versus your deal, and get strokes versus what was happening in my life versus their life. And it's been years since I experienced that sort of comparisonitis with others. And I was like, gosh, I thought I'd kick that bondage. Do you find that happens sometimes? We go back to the Egypt?
Yes, we do go back if we forget that we were once slaves. We do go back to Egypt if the very things that brought us out of Egypt, we stop doing them. Now, I want to guess that a number of you, since you started coming to Crossroads and maybe other churches before, your life began to change. You know, God began to work in your life. And the very thing that God used to touch your life, when I stop now attending to it, then I will drift away. I'll move away. So, yes, it is possible to move from Canaan back to Egypt if we neglect the very things that made us to be what we are.
That's great. I want to invite the band out, and they've been having a great party back there. I've heard them the whole time. If you, they're like, you know, probably still doing dancing back there. But I want to invite them out because they're going to do something in just a moment. But as they're coming out, a few things I want to do. First of all, I want to say to you, Titus, thank you for being a model, for being on the journey to Canaan. You have you've poured yourself out here today for us. I've lived with you. I've seen your life. I've seen the choices that you make. I see the choices that your church makes. We have learned so much from you, and we still feel like we're, in many ways, toddlers in aspiring to have an intimate relationship with God like you have. Thank you. Thank you so much for being a blessing to us today. Two announcements we want to share. One is this Wednesday night we get back to Summer Nights at Next Level. And Next Level is for those who want to go to the next level, exactly. And it's not necessarily the next level in spiritual experience, so that happens oftentimes. It's the next level of our church going to the next place of understanding what our calling as a community is. And we've got another partner coming in this Wednesday. This one's actually in town. Bishop Michael Dantley's church, Christ Emmanuel, who are working, yes, we're working very closely with on the CityLink Center, which is a one-stop shop for those who are in poverty here in our city. And they came last year and just blew our doors off. Now, since they don't have to get visas, actually, their whole church like comes. Like last year, this place was filled, and it was a very, very fun time. So just a word to the wise, if you want to make sure you have a seat, you're going to have to beat them in getting here to show up on time. So that's this Wednesday, 7 o'clock. And Quest, a lot of us are sitting here. I'll tell you right now, you are in spiritual culture shock. You're like people dancing on stage, you know, all this stuff. You're like, whoa, you know. And this has been a next level experience for many of us. And, you know, don't worry. Don't be too freaked out. Just you need to know there's a different dimension of God than what you might have allowed yourself to be previously exposed to. Our church here is for people who have given up on church but haven't necessarily given up on God. We pushed the envelope a bit this weekend, but we have Quest in our community groups, in a community group starting in September, which is for all of us in our church, we started this church for, who are not sure that they believe in the Bible or don't believe in the Bible, not sure exactly what Jesus is about. And this is the place where you have your questions answered and just really take a deep dive on those kind of things. So check that out at the Information Center or give us a call at the office. Irish. When I was over in South Africa, Libby and I, 2 years ago, you did a song in the midst of one of the worship services that has continued to ring in my mind. It's one song that I knew. All the songs we did today I didn't know, but this song I did know. And when I found out that you were coming, I grabbed her yesterday and I said, Irish, can you do this song? And I said, oh yeah, I can do that song. And I found out this song has some meaning for you. Tell us why this song has some meaning for you.
This song has such beautiful meaning to my life because at the age of 9 years, my parents got divorced and it was just too much to take at that age. So my life was really torn apart and I needed something to fill the void in my life. And at the age of 12, God stepped in at the right time. And He's been a father, He's been everything to me. And that's basically why I love the song. I love the song so much. And I realized that without Him, I'm nothing.
They're going to do this song. It's like you sit there and contemplate in these words, see what happens in your heart in the midst of it. And after this, everybody from Charity and Faith, they're going to come down front. And sometimes when you're in bondage, all the times you need prayer, all the times you need Jesus to come in and give you a true sense of rescue, true deliverance. Sometimes, though, it really helps when you have hands that are actually on you praying specifically for you to help unlock the shackles. And they do this thing really well. We can learn a lot from them in the area of prayer. And if you want to come down after they're done at the close of the service, tell them a little your story, and they would be honored to pray with you. Okay? Let's pray right now. God, as Iris does this song, move in this place and help us to see your heart. God, I pray that we go the next place. Those of us who are in bondage, maybe before this day is over, we'll be broken. Those of us who have been going in circles, perhaps we'll be able to go the next place. And those of us who are in the land of Canaan will notice where you brought us and will respond accordingly. Thank you for our brothers and sisters from Mama Lodi. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, so we'll be down front. Anybody, if you'd like to come and have them pray for you, they'd be honored. And for the rest of us, have a fantastic week. We'll see you Wednesday at Next Level.